screen flickers, loud noise. Hollywood magic, chaos deploys. Brad, Andy, Rust, break it down. Super fantastic in this town. Heroes, villains, all the tales. Epic journeys, dragons and whales. Chasing stories, lost and found. Films and shows all around. Super fantastic, terrific, in the air. Talking movies, Hollywood's glare. Brad, Andy, Russ got the flair. Super fantastic, terrific, everywhere.
Oh, so, before we start. We started. I saw these clips. There's some TV show, and it's on Max. It's about a girl who has Tourette's.
Okay.
Have you seen that?
No, I have not.
It's called Bailing Out Loud. Okay, so this girl has like Tourette's, but she has like Tourette's so extreme that she'll be like all, "God damn!" And she'll just like start saying like, "It's so weird because I don't understand why the Tourette's thing you have like a." They say inappropriate things all the time. They always just kind of like curse out, like, "I've got a 9-inch penis," you know, stuff like that. But the show was, like, pretty cool because, like, this girl has it so bad, like, she can't get through, like, three sentences without, like, you know, doing some one of her weird tics.
Yeah, and there's a lot, yeah, there's a lot
problem
of
is watching
like
the show.
Tics, too.
Because of, you know, I have OCD, ADHD, you know, I'm, like, you know, obviously.
Alphabet soup over here.
Yeah, alphabet soup over here. Like, if you look it up online on WebMD. Uh-huh. I basically have what they call, like, there's a whole different kinds of Tourette's. There's the ones that cuss out loud, and there's, like, ones that have just, like, tics.
Okay.
And Kim's, like, watching the show going, "You do that. You do this. And it's true. If you look at, like mild Tourette's, it's, like, the throat clearing.
Yeah.
And I have the throat clearing and like, a cough that never goes away. Mm-hmm. And, like, you know, chewing fingernail, all that stuff. It's, like, what you would consider low-level Tourette's. I just haven't crossed over into the... cursing.
Oh, good.
Stage, right. Apparently. But anyway, it's worth a watch because, like, if you watch it on the Instagram, you'll just be like, you'll be cracking up. I mean, you feel bad because, you know, this girl can't control it, but she'll just be like saying these random things, and she'd be like trying to ride a bicycle, but then she put her arm out and go, "For Narnia." It's just like a thing will get caught in her head, and she'll just
say it all
the time.
Well, before we go any further, welcome back to Super Fantastic.
Welcome back.
Terrific. Yeah. So. Theme song played.
Okay.
Still good.
And I'm Ergo the Magnificent tonight.
And this is a rust, or at least a lonely. But we are here, and I don't know.
Welcome to Krullcast.
Welcome to the Krullcast. So last time we did a lot of AI and music and a bunch of that stuff. And then one of the songs that you had was The Glaive.
Oh, yes, The Glaive.
And, you know, honestly, so I'm just going to come clean. I had never fucking seen this thing.
You've never
1983,
seen
I never saw Krull.
Oh.
Oh, my God. So this, you're literally coming from, like, a, like, virgin, like, I watched it for the first time, just like Sunday.
I thought for sure you had seen it, and you were just like, oh, maybe I'll watch Krull again now that Brad did this song about it.
No,
now I'm nervous. Cause
I pretended to know what the fuck you were talking about last time.
Oh, shit.
And I'm like, so I go, like, oh, man. And I'm going through... Because all these great, there's all these old movies that are on YouTube for free right now. I don't have no idea what that is. It's about, but like Jurassic Park 3 was on there. I'm like, okay, well, I might watch that. But
usually it's things that kind of fell through the cracks that just don't happen to be on any. Like, you'll be looking like, what streaming service is this movie on? And you'll be like, you'll look it up and you'll go like, oh, man, I don't want to rent that. Like, you'll find some movie that you'll think, it's got to be on one of the 10 streaming services I have.
Right, exactly.
And then you look it up and it's like, no, you can rent it for $3.99 on Amazon. And we used to rent things all the time and not even think about it, right?
Right. Yeah,
we'd be a Blockbuster
or
whatever,
rent.
Renting movies left and right, keeping them out for 5 days, paying too much for them. And now it's just like, because there's so many streaming services that you already pay for, you're like, oh, fuck it, I'm not paying $4 for that shit.
Well, and it is on, it's probably on one of them.
Yeah.
But it's never on that when you want to watch it.
Yeah.
Like, oh, it just came off of, you know, of Hulu.
Yeah.
Or it was just on Paramount.
Yeah.
Whatever it was. But now it's not.
Yeah, things just drop off,
another service. It just left Netflix.
Yeah.
Like, you search online, like, where can I watch this? Oh, on Netflix.
Well, that's the worst if you get into, like, you find a TV show that's, like, 5 seasons.
Yeah.
And you start getting into it, and you're, like, in season 2.5, and it's like, oh, leaving Netflix this week. And you're like, oh,
oh
man.
Because
it could go somewhere that it's not on another service for a while.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
The contract ends and nobody wants to pay for it. So it's like, it goes
because, you know, it's an old show.
Yeah.
And maybe, like, they didn't get a lot of viewers on it. So they're like, they're not renewing it. But Krull.
Yes.
Well, so why Krull?
Okay, so back in the early 80s, so obviously Star Wars happened, and it kind of changed movies forever, because the 70s was a much darker, grittier...
Star Wars, A New Hope, 1977, yeah. I'm sorry, but it was also Empire Strikes Back,
yes.
1980.
Yes.
So Return of the Jedi...
83.
So the same year as Krull came out.
Yeah, I think it was, yes.
Krull was 1983. So...
So obviously, like, the, you know, after Star Wars came out, it was all of a sudden like a, you know, before that it was like, sci-fi was like B-movie stuff, right? You know, for a really long time, the 50s, the 60s, sci-fi was B-movies.
Oh, it was always.
Then you got like 2001, A Space Odyssey, and it was like, sure. Oh, this can be like legitimate, you know, cinema. But yeah. That was a much more serious, you know, like science, sci-fi type thing. And then Star Wars hits, and Star Wars is sci-fi fantasy. And that went through the roof, and it became, it changed the movie industry. They were doing movies like, you know, everything was dark in the 70s. Like, everything was, like, crime dramas, The Godfathers, those kind of movies. You know, serious stuff. You know, French Connection, stuff like that. And then Star Wars hits, and it's like, oh, crap, we can make a ton of money doing this stuff that used to be, like, you know, B-movie, you know, matinee, you know, serial type things.
Right.
Are now popular. So everybody tries to recreate it and do it themselves. Like, Star Trek, all of a sudden, a dead franchise has a movie because Star Wars hit. So
right. They're
like, hey, we can make a Star Trek movie. People will watch that. So all these things started coming after that. So if you think about, you get to like the 80s, you know, Tron hits, you know, not a big box office success,
no. But
was like way ahead of its time, like doing computer graphics, like CGI. The very first like CGI ever done was like the opening little, you know, sequences in that, or the light cycles was like, oh my God. So it's like, you look at Tron now and it's like so dated. It's like ridiculously dated. You're right. Like, oh my God, but I still love it. But it's like, it was like revolutionary. So it was like one of those things where it's like, so they started doing these kind of movies. They're like, let's try more things. Krull wasn't like a low budget movie. There was lots of low budget movies. There were the Beastmasters, you know, the sword and sandal type stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, the stuff that obviously was made on like, you know, shoestring budgets. But Krull was a $30 million movie.
This
cost about as much as Return of the Jedi to make this thing.
The cast on this,
yes,
like you wouldn't like recognize the names. There's a few names you recognize.
The people you recognize are the side actors that became famous afterwards.
Right. So the two big ones that I saw, Liam Neeson.
Yes.
He's one of the I don't know,
bandits
that comes and joins the army.
Yes.
Of the new king.
The army of 10 people.
The army of 10. And then there's
Robbie Coltrane.
Robbie Coltrane, who played Hagrid.
Yes.
And also played, what was the other thing?
He was in a bunch of other stuff, like British stuff.
Nuns
on the Run, those comedy things.
But he was Hagrid.
That, yeah.
That's where most people came to know and love Robin Coltrane.
Yeah.
So, but he was in there. He's also one of the bandits.
Yes.
And then there's your namesake for the episode, Ergo the
Ergo the Magnificent.
Who was kind of a bit actor, but for me, I looked at him and went, that was
the
Charlie,
guy at the candy shop.
Charlie's, no, wasn't it? He was a teacher.
Okay.
He was Charlie's teacher in Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. That was where I'm like, oh my gosh, I can't believe that guy. That he was so good. Like,
yes.
Only one box? I can't understand that. Let's just say you opened 100 box. Now he starts doing a math lesson.
Yes.
On a chocolate.
And he was the same kind of jokey character in this movie too.
Yeah, and so, and he was a shapeshifter.
Yeah.
And that was and then the other one, the head of the bandits.
Yeah.
I don't remember the guy's name.
Bad I can't names. Remember him either.
But he was also an actor who was a ton of things. But you don't know.
Yeah. The leads in the movie were like pretty much not big people.
Right.
And that Ken Marshall guy who played the main prince pretty much didn't go on to do anything after that.
Right.
He was like in some stuff later, like when he looked totally different, but. You know, that was like his big break, and then it just didn't break right.
It was
a $30 million movie. It only made $16 million at the box office worldwide.
Oh, my gosh. Is that serious?
Yes,
that's right? Oh, my gosh. That's horrible.
But so this is what we were talking about. What I'm saying is, like, so basically you had, like, post-Star Wars, you had other stuff that was happening. So, like, Tron was happening, you know, things like the Black Hole, the Star Trek movie. Like, people were trying to cash in on the sci-fi thing. So this is a weird mix, and it'll be – I made a list of, like – because Krull has been one of those movies, I've had a list of like movies if I was going to remake movies, or if I was going to do like a streaming series nowadays on things. Like the main things that I always wanted to do was like obviously Tron. I was dying my whole life. I just wanted a Tron sequel. I finally got that with Tron Legacy, and I love Tron Legacy. So I was super happy. And we just talked about this because now there's a new Tron coming out. The trailer just dropped. Tron Ares.
Oh yeah.
So you know, I got my Tron trailer, my Tron sequel. I wanted a sequel to that one. That got canceled. I had to wait 10 years, and now I'm getting another Tron.
Okay.
So Tron was satisfied, but the movies that I wanted sequels for or remakes, I think Krull's perfect for a remake because Krull, for me, I don't know how you feel about it yet, so I'm still nervous because I never knew you hadn't seen this before.
Yeah.
I still love Tron. I watched it again the other day, and I can watch it and go, yes, it's 80s, it's kind of cheesy, it's got weird elements to it and stuff, but it's still like it has a great soundtrack. James Horner, that was one of his earlier things. Okay. He went on to do a lot of James Cameron movies, basically.
Okay.
He's like a famous guy, but that was one of his earlier movies, and so it has a solid soundtrack. And it's just this weird sci-fi fantasy mix that, like, it's kind of weird. So I kind of wanted to start by just going through my list of what I would do if I was remaking it.
Okay, well, so go ahead and start.
So if I was going to do a Krull remake, which probably won't happen because,
okay,
again,
so are you going to start with who would you cast in this thing?
No, I don't. I'm not going to cast. It's more generally about the movie.
Okay, all right, go
so
ahead.
First of all, Morglaive would be my first.
Morglaive. Okay, so let's start. This is not down here.
Yes.
I was very disappointed. Because I didn't get more glaive.
Yeah.
The glaive is just like at the basically the boss fight.
Yes.
And then you get the glaive and that's it.
So literally like the way the movie starts, so a prince and a princess from warring clans, like they don't, you know, kingdoms that don't get along, decide to marry because there's this alien presence that's come to this planet of Krull.
It was, you know, that was very, you know.
The movie starts with a giant spaceship that's basically like
a
rock.
It's a rock that like it just shows up.
A giant rock. Citadel lands on the planet.
But hold on, but it comes from space.
Yes, it comes from outer space.
But later on, it just disappears and then
that made no sense.
That didn't make any sense.
Yeah.
At all. Okay.
Yeah, a lot of stuff in this movie does not make sense, unfortunately. Okay. So basically, this giant rock ship comes from outer space and lands on Krull.
So this is just stop down for a sec. A lot of times.
Yes.
I will pretend not to have seen the movie you're talking about. But it feels really good to have actually seen the movie you're talking about.
Yeah,
and actually to get, because, and then Andy's famous for that.
Yes.
Like, he was like,
oh, you know, he just bullshits his way through.
Every single thing. Yes. It's like, no.
You find out, like, 2 years later, I don't even have Disney Plus. We've been talking about these shows on Disney Plus for like 2.5 years, dude. What are you talking about?
Oh,
I haven't signed up for it yet.
I have to watch
Mandalorian at some point.
He's going from like.
But he's good at the bullshitting.
You wouldn't even know.
Yeah, you wouldn't even know. He's comical.
Okay, so again, so right there's the lovers who are going to unite these two kingdoms.
Yes, and like the fathers don't want to because they're, you know, hated enemies, whatever. But there's this.
But they actually they have
a common enemy. Yes, they have a common enemy. So these the space.
Hold on, the Slayers.
The Slayers.
What are like a. Kind of a benign name. I mean, like.
But their costumes were cool.
Oh, such cool costumes. And then, hold on, let's go back to the Slayers. When they do get killed.
Yes.
All of a sudden, they're like.
These alien worm things crawl on their head.
Crawl their head and go on the ground. That's it.
Yeah.
And then they're gone.
Yeah.
Like, what a weird concept.
Yes. This movie is very weird.
Okay, so
anyway, so my number one thing would be. Morglaive.
I agree with you.
And again, to go into a little bit of the story, so the prince and the princess try to get together. They're going to get married. The Slayers show up and basically slaughter pretty much everybody in the castle. They steal the girl.
Except for Prince Colwyn.
He gets knocked out, though, so they think he might be dead.
And then all of a sudden, there's like the man in the woods that comes out. And
basically, Obi-Wan, this movie's version of Obi-Wan, wanders in from out of the desert and comes, like, rubs some, Vicks VapoRub on his... laser wounds
with his leather patch.
Yes,
on
and then
his
passes
shoulder.
Along the glaive necklace from his father to the son. Like you're the king now, and you better get your shit together because we gotta go.
Rescue Princess Alyssa.
Yeah. So Obi-Wan comes out of the desert to help rescue him.
Yeah.
So then Obi-Wan takes him up into the mountains, and he has to like free climb like the tallest mountain ever.
Okay. So but that's where you say $30 million.
Yes.
And I go.
Helicopter
shots. Wait a minute. Why is he just wandering in the desert?
Yes.
Like, that's always the sign of a very low-budget movie.
Yeah.
Whenever these new Star Wars movies come out, or shows come out, they're always in the desert, Michael. Low-budget.
Yeah.
I'm like,
Shipping a bottle episode.
How did we get you know,
just, a $200 million budget. Forever. Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy the budgets of some things,
Yeah.
So anyway, so he free climbs this giant mountain and wanders into a cave, and then just sticks his hand into like hot lava.
It looks like hot lava.
It's on fire.
And then, right, exactly. And then he brings out a rock, and it just the glaive appears.
And the glaive. Okay, this whole movie is about the glaive, quite frankly.
No, but you see it for like that, like 30 seconds.
It's basically a 5-point throwing star that has like retractable knives.
Yeah.
And on the poster, it looks so badass. It's like one of the coolest like sci-fi weapons ever. Like other than a lightsaber, you know, we can't use a lightsaber for this movie. You know, fake wannabe Star Wars sci-fi fantasy. So they create this knife, this like 3-5-pointed knife. That then when he does get to use it, it's like he's using the Force to like control. It's like a boomerang, mind boomerang, basically.
I didn't really notice the mind boomerang part, but. It seemed like it had a mind of its own.
Yes.
Like, at some point, I thought, like...
Well, he could throw it, and it would come back.
Yeah.
So that was the boomerang kind of part of it. But he could throw it, and he could, like, by putting his hand out, he could make it, like, spin, and then shoot it at the bad guy, and then come back again.
Again, just at the end of the movie.
Yes.
Only.
Yeah, so that's why I said, number one, more glaive.
More glaive.
Number two, less bumbling wizard.
So bumbling wizard.
I called myself Ergo the Magnificent, but he was a comic relief for the movie.
He was, because the actual, the Obi-Wan character.
Yeah.
He was serious. Yeah, he was serious.
Yeah.
And then let me go. I'm looking at the, I'm trying to see who played, what was the name of the character?
It was some generic name like Erog or...
Bernard Archard.
Yeah.
Elrig.
Yeah, it's probably just some British dude.
No. He played the dad. He played the king.
Okay.
Anyway, go ahead. Yeah,
so anyway, my point is, if I was going to remake Krull, I would take a more serious approach to Krull. I wouldn't have the wizard who turns himself into a dog or a pig and makes the jokes about like stealing some pie. Like I don't need the Goonie wizard. The Goonie wizard.
Okay.
That was a cheesy part of Krull for me. So I would say less bumbling wizard. Less I could do without the bumbling wizard. Number three, more glaive.
Wait, what?
My number three thing for a remake would be more glaive. There needs to be more glaive.
Okay.
You get this badass weapon that he pulls out of the lava mountain, right? And like you said, he only uses it at the end. He should have been using this glaive to take out slayers in the swamp.
He could have used it to take out all those raiders.
Yes, anyone you're fighting, you use the fucking glaive.
You take out the glaive, and maybe a guy goes, whoa. Don't throw the glaive at me.
Yes.
And then maybe you can talk
because
about
it. Because you saw, like, when you brained one of those slayers and the worm crawled out of their head, like, you could just be glaiving those bastards, like, with your... You've got this boomerang 5-pointed glaive that you could just be taking people out, like, all the time. And yeah. he holds on to it till the end. Okay, so the number three was more glaive again.
But you know what, though? He was warned not to use it until later, I think.
Yes.
So that was... That was
that was a waste, though. Like, if you have a weapon that cool, like if you've got a lightsaber, are you like getting in fist fights like you're David Hasselhoff? And this is my complaint about Knight Rider. So Knight Rider, I loved Knight Rider back in the day. I was what, sixth grade probably when Knight Rider came out.
Of course.
You had a talking car that like last week I saw the car like throw like a net over some guy, right?
Right.
And then the net's never used again for the next three seasons.
Right.
It would always be like Michael Knight would jump out of the car and fist fight people. And I'm like, you could just run people over with this car or use the lasers that you had 3 weeks ago.
Right.
So you've got a glaive, you need to use it. So anyway, number three is more glaive.
More glaive. Okay.
Number four is decide what movie you're making. Because this was my biggest problem with Krull. I love Krull stuff.
Okay.
It's fond to my heart. It was
so
like,
a lot of times I can't watch movies that are old.
Yes.
It hurts my soul just they're so slow. But I did not feel that way on this movie.
Good.
Which was surprising.
Yeah.
Because it had a classic kind of a
It was very 80s.
A plot.
Yeah.
I mean but the characters, I mean there was actually some decent dialogue.
Yeah.
I didn't find myself like going, oh, I wish they would just get to the next part.
Yeah.
I wish they would just be more glaive.
Yes. But if you're remaking it, more glaive, right?
More glaive, absolutely.
Okay, so number four, I said decide what movie you're making. So this is the thing about this movie.
Okay, what movie
so this movie,
what are they making?
This movie sets itself up as a, like, it starts with a spaceship, right? A spaceship landing on the planet Krall.
Right.
And then most of the movie is very much a standard fantasy film. Like, it almost...
It's a quest film.
Yeah, it's a quest fantasy film.
Yeah.
Other than the Slayers, who have, like, laser weapons. And this is the funny thing about it.
Kill everybody in the
kingdom. These Slayers, who, like, a really cool, like, villain design. These Slayers are, like, they're, like, almost like... I don't know how to describe them. The helmets are really cool. They almost look like Death Star... helmets. Those Death Star helmets with the guys in the Death Star.
Oh, okay, yeah, yeah.
You know, they were like pulling the button to shoot the lasers.
They kind of, hold on. They kind of look like what's his name?
They're like stormtroopers with much more elaborate
it's
helmets.
It's like a Beetlejuice looking like a helmet.
Yeah, it's like, the helmets are cool. And these guys got these laser weapons. So they're basically fighting these medieval people with swords, right? With laser weapons, which is why they slaughter so many people.
Well,
at the wedding.
They shoot, and then they turn them over, and then they fight them with swords.
Yeah. So they're long. It's like it's almost like if you think of like, remember when the French Indian War, like early colonial day fighting, where they would fire and then they would stick the bayonet on when they got to close quarters.
Right.
They would fight, they would hit
with the butt of the.
Of course, if I was a Slayer, I wouldn't keep advancing. I'd just sit back and take people out with my laser weapon.
Right. Why get closer?
Instead of switching to like hand-to-hand combat. I don't understand.
But they still slaughtered everyone,
pretty much.
They killed everybody.
They did a pretty good job of it. But anyway, so you've established...
Hold on, you've established
a spaceship and laser weapons, which is very Star Wars.
I have one problem with the movie. And being, oh, we need another one.
Yeah.
I'm ahead.
You're good.
At some point, they're all walking... In the desert, in the forest, whatever they're doing, like maybe it's right after the swamp.
Yes.
And then they're on horses coming out of the forest.
Oh, we'll get to the horses.
The group.
Yeah, we're not
to
the
no.
Horses
not,
at the end.
Not the
fire horses.
Not the fire horses.
Okay.
They just have like a bunch of regular horses that all of a sudden fucking appear, and all of a sudden they're literally.
Well, I would assume that the bandits probably had horses hiding behind the rock area that they were like hiding in.
But that wasn't where they were. Maybe they went to find the horses.
Yeah.
And maybe I missed that in the dialogue, like. We have horses. Just
we got some horses, by the way.
Just over the ridge. I'm like, okay. And then they get through the...
It's probably a plot hole.
They
had horses. They cut out the let's go get our horses scene.
I think so. That was... So anyway, I wanted to mention that because I'm like, why? What the hell happened? Where'd the horses come from?
Okay. So my fourth point was like, know what movie you're making. So they have the sci-fi elements of a spaceship landing on the planet Krall.
Okay.
Aliens that are basically worm people in like humanoid bodies that shoot laser weapons at people that are basically fighting with medieval swords.
Right.
And then it's like the most of the movie turns into a fantasy. I mean, you've got like all these elements of fantasy movies. And this is my thing. Is this movie is kind of ahead of its time, too, to a certain extent. It was trying to be like, oh, okay, Star Wars was a sci-fi fantasy, so let's do a fantasy movie and throw a little bit of sci-fi in there.
Okay, I hear you there.
But what they're doing is like, they're taking elements of like Lord of the Rings type stuff, you know. Like there's the whole scene with the guy, you know, with the spider. You know.
Oh, the
Obi-Wan and the blind seer. That's like Clash of the Titans kind of stuff.
Yeah, you got
the blind person who can like see into the future. So they're taking all these mythology type things.
Right.
Cyclopses, right?
The Cyclops dude.
The Cyclops dude who knows the only thing the Cyclops and they explained it in the movie. They said basically, the Cyclops were from another planet, in this movie.
Okay.
And they made a deal with the Beast, who's the main villain, that they could have, like, you know, sight or a future, like they could see into the future. But the Beast tricked them. He took away one of their eyes, and the only thing they could see in the future was the day of their own death. That was, like, explained in the movie.
Oh, yeah.
That's kind of a cool element, right?
That is cool. But
that's a cool element.
But again, that's like a fantasy element.
But that's a fantasy thing, and it's also, like, okay, like, if I'm going to make a remake of Krull... I'm not making it like with earthbound fantasy things like cyclopses and, you know, wizards. Like, you need to, like, make it more sci-fi.
Yeah.
Like, the cyclops should have been, like, some kind of new alien creation instead of some just, like, cyclops from mythology.
And the makeup on that cyclops was...
Oh, yeah.
It looked like there was, like...
It did look like a $30 million cyclops.
It looked like he had a pair of glasses on that basically gave him cyclops.
Yeah.
The man gave him one.
Well, it was like the you know, it was like the makeup on Sloth from Goonies, kind of, you know.
That was way better.
Yeah,
that was way better than this.
But anyway, so my point is like, you know, you're trying to do all these fantasy elements, so it's almost weird because if you think about it, there was no like Lord of the Rings or those kind of things back in the day. The only Lord of the Rings...
other than the Lord of the Rings, the books.
No, but there was the animated Lord of the Rings that came out in 77, which was basically rotoscoped, which is, you know what rotoscoping is, right?
Yeah.
It's basically they film actual people and then animate over the people.
Yeah.
So they don't have to spend as much time animating. They basically just... it's like a shortcut. So you can do the animation cheaper.
Is that Lord of the Rings or The Hobbit?
The Hobbit.
The Hobbit.
Yeah, The Hobbit. Okay, so they did The Hobbit, and it was basically rotoscoped. So that was like the only fantasy of that level, pretty much, before, you know, Kroll came along. Because Willow wasn't until 1988. Willow was like another thing. It was like borrowed all these elements from like Lord of the Rings type stuff.
You know what?
We didn't get a true Lord of the Rings till Lord of the Rings came out. This was like way ahead of its time.
That Willow show that came out was so horrendous.
You didn't like it. I liked it.
You know what? Even Disney's like, get it off our service.
It
doesn't even exist anymore.
I actually liked it, but the problem was they spent so much money on it that they were like, oh, it's better just to write it off completely, which kind of sucks because if you like it and you're like, oh, excited to see more Willow, you can't even see it now.
It was on
Disney Plus for like 3 months. You either watched it or you didn't. It's not available on DVD. It's like gone, it didn't exist.
Dude, that is.
I enjoyed Willow more than I enjoyed some of the House of Dragons and some of the Lord of the Rings stuff. Lord of the Rings has gotten better. Season 2 of Lord of the Rings was really good. So I like Lord of the Rings now.
Wheel of Time.
See, they did Season 2 on Amazon of Lord of the Rings, and it was like better than Season 1. It was good.
I'm not going to pretend. I haven't seen any of these things.
Wheel of Time. Remember when we did the
Wheel of Time,
we did the podcast and Andy called it like Hot Witches or whatever.
Oh, yes.
And they had the one female witch that looked like Quagmire from Family Guy.
You can go on Super Fantastic Terrific to search for Hot Witches.
Hot Witches, yes.
You will find the episode.
Yeah, I'm sure Andy probably didn't even watch it. He was just talking about it. But the one girl looked like Quagmire. She had a Quagmire face and we were all like making fun of it.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Don't anyway, they're on season 3 of that and I'm watching it and there's like, it started out good. The first 15 minutes were amazing. And then the show just, like, slowed back down again.
So who's the main character in that is the Rosamund Pike, right?
Rosamund Pike.
I enjoyed her as a Bond girl.
Oh, she was hot as a Bond girl.
But I can't get past. I can't enjoy her in this way.
It's like, I'm almost glad because I told you of this at the time. There was a 12-book series written by Robert Jordan. This is a 12-book series.
Oh, okay.
Of sci-fi books that were all like 500 pages or more. These aren't like reading Animal Farm, you know? When you had to do a book report back in the day, you're like, what is the shortest book I can read?
93 pages,
Animal Farm. I'm reading Animal Farm again because it's only 93 pages. This is like, these were like tomes, you know? Oh, these are slugs. So I read the first one, and I was just like, oh, well, maybe they'll make a movie or something like that someday. And I waited like 25 years, and they made an Amazon series, and I'm all, well, I can watch it.
That's good.
But I'm watching it going, okay, this is interesting, but I'm glad I didn't read those 12 books. Because Robert Jordan, before he did his Wheel of Time series, he did the, this brings back to the 80s, and what we're talking about, which is 12 fantasy.
12 books at 500 pages each?
This is what I wrote right back in. You would have thought I had planned it.
6,000 pages.
So Robert Jordan, who wrote the Wheel of Time series, which was basically like a Game of Thrones before Game of Thrones.
Okay.
Which is why they've now turned it into a series, because they're thinking, this was like super popular fantasy before Game of Thrones.
Okay.
Let's turn this into a series. And Amazon's spending shitloads of money on it, right? And it's okay. That's the best I can give it is it's okay.
I'll take your word for it.
So anyway, Robert Jordan, before he did this, he wrote the adaptation of Conan the Destroyer, which was a 1980s fantasy film.
Yes.
In the same vein of like what we're talking about now with Kroll. So they did Conan the Barbarian and Conan the Destroyer. And then Robert Jordan wrote, after Conan the Destroyer, he wrote about 6 or 7 really good Conan the Barbarian films, which again also ties back into what I would like to see remade.
Yes.
I want a streaming series of Conan the Barbarian. You could do like a Game of Thrones, like violent with nudity.
Here's what I want about Kroll, with Kroll.
Yeah.
I want some Conan the Barbarian.
Yes. I want Conan the Barbarian.
Right, I know, but think
of Game of Thrones.
How's it Kroll?
So the most stuff with Game of Thrones, well, because it's fantasy. It's a fantasy.
Okay, it's fantasy then. Okay.
So anyway, so Conan could totally be done as like a Game of Thrones, HBO, nudity, cursing, violent.
Who plays Conan?
He gets a big old strong freaking Reacher, man.
Oh, Alan Ritchson?
There you go.
Oh, man.
Reacher would be great Conan.
Oh, my gosh. That would be.
And see the women driven before me. the laminations of the women and the gold or whatever. I want all of that.
That's pretty good.
Anyway, the Conan, so the Conan stuff, those books are great because it's like there's always like nudity and Conan's like saving some like half-clad woman, you know, from some wizard. Like the Conan stuff,
dude.
Those books were great. So I read these six Conan.
Misogynist shit is this?
Anyway, whatever. Shut up. So I read these six Conan books and I was like, okay. Oh, this is great. And then I'm all, oh, this guy has like a 12 book sci-fi fantasy series. Let me start reading that. And I was like, oh, the first book was like 530 pages. And I was just like, oh, do I really want to get into a 12 book series where like all the books are like huge,
6,000 pages of content.
So I read one and I was pretty. It was pretty decent, but I gave up.
Okay.
But anyway, the whole thing rolls back to Kroll.
Hey, you know
Conan
what?
Conan was happening at this time.
I hope
time.
You live a lifetime where you can read all these books.
Yes.
In time.
I even tried to listen to the audiobook of the first one before the series came out, and I was like, oh, I listened to about an hour on a walk, and I'm like, oh, I'll just watch the series.
So we were doing this. I had this Bible study. And we were doing this book about Bonhoeffer, Dietrich Bonhoeffer. And it was 40 hours.
Oh my God. 40 hours?
And it's audiobook. I did it at 1.5. I was the only one in our entire group who finished it.
That's like, isn't that like the, what was the guy that used to do like the Civil War PBS series?
Oh, the,
That sounds like that. Like, I got to watch 40 hours just to get through this.
Ken Burns.
Ken Burns, yeah.
Ken Burns. Like, it was a ridiculous. I mean, yeah. But, total side thing. The guy, like, tried to assassinate Hitler.
Yeah.
Like before, you know, during World War II. Didn't happen.
Yeah.
The bomb, they had a bomb on the plane. He was in the plane.
Yeah.
Bomb didn't go off. Oh my gosh. Insane. But anyway.
But here. So long, it's just like again, though, like.
40 hours. Like, I don't know.
40 how, hours four, is a long time.
40 hours is the longest time I've ever. Yeah. Longest book I've ever, audiobook I've ever done.
That is like crazy. 40 hours.
40 hours.
That's like watching Supernatural. It's just 15 seasons.
It is.
You're right, so play the next one.
It was.
I'm like, I do want to watch other shows, you know.
I did. I would walk the dog like in just the dog was like, please take me home.
Yeah, the dog's like panting, like wanting some water because you're like walking him home.
I just want to go home.
Yeah, dog looks up at you like, carry me. Anyway, so back to Kroll.
Kroll.
So my whole point was,
so hold on, wait.
If you're gonna do a remake,
Morglave.
No, less Bumbling less Wizard, Bumbling more Glaive.
More Glaive. For
decide less, what kind of movie you're making.
More Conan.
So Conan, but like. So if you're gonna do a sci-fi fantasy,
yeah,
okay, don't make it like Earthbound fantasy. You need to.
Oh, there needs to be some space in it.
Instead of the Cyclops, you make it like an alien creature.
Yeah,
you can have one eye if you want, but he needs to just not be like a Cyclops that you run into the street in a normal fantasy, right?
Dude, or the run of the mill sidewalk Cyclops.
Or again, like you know the spider thing was so weird. Like the guy's all, oh yeah, she won't kill me.
Right.
Because he used to have like a love affair with this lady. This lady.
Same name as the princess.
This is like ripe for a like. I need a book to know what happened with this guy.
Uh-huh.
So this Obi-Wan character basically, there's this lady who's like stuck in a spider cave,
yeah.
And she can't leave. But she's like got superpowers where she can see into the future and know where the fortress is going to be. Right. So she's got like powers. Right.
Yeah.
This guy like screwed her over at some point. And he left. We don't know this backstory. He screwed over and left. She had his baby. Murdered the baby.
What the hell?
And her punishment was to live in this spider tomb or whatever.
What is she eating?
I need a backstory to this. Like, I need to know what's going on. Like, what? Who punished her?
Well, and why was she? I mean, you know.
Who decided you murdered your baby, so I'm going to capture. I'm going to trap you in a spider cave.
We live in California. Killing babies is like, you know,
yeah,
it's commonplace.
Yeah,
but no, that was a crazy.
That's deal. A crazy storyline that's not explained and
not at all.
Whatever. So it just gives you the scene, which is basically you know the big scene in The Hobbit, right? Is Shebob the spider?
All right.
So they were basically just like going, oh, that I like that part of that Lord of the Rings book. Lord of the Rings has only been done in this animation thing, so we can just steal that plot line.
They
just throw in this random, you know, spider cave thing. So anyway, so that's my point. It's like, decide what you're going to be. Are you a fantasy or are you a sci-fi movie? Be more sci-fi. You can do the fantasy, but mask it in, like, alien creatures versus Earthbound Cyclopses.
So what...
Steal some character from the Odyssey.
What movie or series did the right balance of sci-fi and fantasy?
Do you have an answer to this question that you're
asking? I don't.
Okay.
I came to mind Like when you do, like, I watched more, a lot more sci-fi than fantasy.
Yes.
And it's, I'm not a huge fantasy fan.
Yes.
So what immediately popped in my head was the Muppet show.
The Muppet show.
The Muppet show. No, it was. I can't remember the name of it. It was a dude went like. He went through a wormhole. All of a sudden, he's in the future.
Farscape. Perfect.
Farscape.
Perfect example.
Was pretty much entirely sci-fi.
Yeah.
But it had a level of fantasy in it.
Yeah.
Like I thought that just because maybe the Muppets part was really good.
The Muppets.
But I enjoy that
oh,
show.
That's one of my favorite sci-fi shows. Like I love Farscape. Yeah, Farscape was great because like. This guy basically, he's like a Buck Rogers character where he gets hurtled into a different universe and then has to adapt to that universe.
Yeah.
And he's on a living ship with a funky mushroom headed pilot and a Muppet character. Who's like some.
Flying around in the air.
Yeah.
And then basically the Wookiee esque, you know,
character
walking around.
Yeah.
I think with these guys' love interest, Claudia
Black is the name of the actress. Claudia I can't Black, remember her character name. Yeah.
But anyway,
that was good.
I thought it was a good mix of.
No, totally. I like Farscape. Farscape's good. Okay, so my next thing would be then after the like, just decide what kind of movie you're going to be. Don't mask yourself as a sci-fi movie at the beginning, and then the whole rest of the movie is basically like a fantasy movie.
Yeah.
You're riding freaking Clydesdales that have fire coming out of their feet, and then just like start taking off like E.T. like across this cavern.
Did they actually fly?
They actually flew at the one point.
Yeah, at some point, I missed.
So they're like, you see them in the distance, and it's like this must have been a cheap scene. I don't know how they spent $30 million. Mm. You see this like far in the distance, you see this cloud of dust with fire, like it's like horses.
Yeah.
They ride the horses like super fast because these horses can get to the fortress before it moves places again, which still doesn't make sense. If you land a spaceship from outer space, why do you then? The spaceship disappears and lands somewhere else on the planet. It can teleport like it's in Star Trek or something.
Yeah.
No sense at all. The horses start going super fast. They go so fast that they hit this like this cavern. Well, not a cavern. What do you call it? A gorge. And they just take off in the air like freaking E.T. going past the moon. And they just fly across the gorge.
It's
like Pegasus all of a sudden.
It's like the Rainbow Road in like
they're running so fast that they just literally take off into the air. So they can get to the place on time.
Okay.
It's just a plot device. We got to get there really quick.
We got to get there. Okay. Yeah. Horses with fire. Of course.
So my next thing after the pick what movie you're going to be.
Okay.
Again, make it more sci-fi. No Cyclopses. Alien creature. You tell a story about how the Cyclopses were on another planet and they got cursed by this beast and take the eye away. But yeah, just make him not look like a Cyclops from the Odyssey.
Right.
Okay, so my number six one was Morglaive. Seriously, the glaive just needs to be used like all the time. It needs to be like a lightsaber.
But
every fight you're in, you're glaiving people.
But I have to say, I was with you in the first two Morglaives. The third Morglaive, I'm kind of not with you.
Okay. Okay, so I'll go to my final point. My final point was world building. So,
okay.
If you're going to do, like, say, a remake movie or say, like, a streaming series, right? You need to do more world building. There's this scene at the end, the very end. So, after they beat the beast, you know. Well, stop.
The beast.
Okay, let's go to the beast.
Why the beast was like...
Why is he 100 feet tall, weird, out-of-focus demon?
Way far away.
Yeah.
You're like, and then the glaive's like, and then the glaive is in him, and it's like...
He couldn't use the force strong enough to pull it back out.
Like the glaive is massive because this dude is massive.
Yeah.
But then when it's in him, it's like it's taken up like a good portion, like percentage wise, to his body. Like the ratios weren't right.
Yeah, the monster was just like a bad monster that they hid behind makeup and made him. I don't know why he was so big.
No, I know. I understand. And here's
basically the devil. Obviously, he's called the beast. He's the devil.
And so, like, this picture, like, I've got a picture of the...
yeah, he almost looks like the entire fortress.
Right, he looks picture. Like... Yeah, his face is the entire fortress. Colwyn's got the glaive. You got Princess Lyssa there.
But laser lights coming out of it for some reason.
Right. And I'm looking at my number one, like, at 53 years old, I did not need to know all these names of these things, you know. But I'm glad I did, you know, because... Yeah, it just seemed odd that the size of him and the way he was portrayed, And then, like, I really, honestly, I didn't. When they showed the princess in the fortress, like, I didn't understand, like...
The design of the fortress was so weird.
And, like, all of a sudden, she's in, like, a different outfit, and, like, I didn't really... And then all of a sudden, like, the beast is, like, pretending to be the prince.
Yes.
I'm like, okay, wait.
Well, obviously, this devil creature had powers, because remember the point where he sent out basically his, like, demon helpers, like the girl that tried to seduce the guy.
Oh, right. Oh, yeah.
And then he also had the guy who turned into the blind guy.
Right.
And tried to kill him.
That's right.
Only I can take you to the special fortress. And he pulls out these long fingernails and is about to, like, kill him until the Cyclops, like, murdered the guy and the worm came out of his head. So,
the Cyclops guy, he was like, we need to whip them away for them to get out of this bad situation.
Yeah. Cyclops guy. Throwing his spear from 50 yards away.
Right. He's running from, like, from miles away to
the... So anyway, obviously this movie has lots of plot holes, lots of flaws, lots of things that don't make sense. And yet, still somehow, it's, like, got this this cool 80s vibe to it.
So, that's what I was going to say. Even though there's a lot of holes...
Yes.
It was entertaining. Are we 40 years later?
Yeah. It's 83, whatever.
83.
Yeah.
Like, I still dug it.
I dug it.
I'm glad you did.
I'm
worried.
When you said you hadn't already seen it, I thought for sure you'd already seen it. I'm like, oh no, Russell's going to be like, what sticker did Brad make me watch this time?
No, I totally dug it. And, you know, I said, we're watching the, I'm going to watch the, two things I'm going to watch next: The Residents and the latest season of Only Murders in the Building.
That's okay.
Two on my list. But so I it was totally worth stopping down.
Yeah.
Watching some crawl.
Watching this free crawl on
free
YouTube.
Crawl on YouTube. Yes. So I'm going to link to it for sure in the show notes. Everybody should watch Crawl, I think.
Yeah, it's good. It's if you like 80s movies, if you like the style of 80s movies, like that, you know, fantasy, sci-fi.
He's got excellent hair and an excellent beard.
Yes.
So, I mean, that's worth it right there.
So, yeah, so my world building thing, so the very end scene, it goes...
So the narrator
said this at the beginning of the movie, and he also says it at the end. He goes, so some princess will find her king, and together they will save the planet Krull, and their son will rule the galaxy. What?
Wait, what?
So these like,
yeah, you're right. That's
these medieval people with swords, you know, fight off this evil devil with his worm... You know,
and they're gonna
warriors.
Rule the galaxy?
But something about their son's going to become like the emperor of the galaxy. Like, wait a second. There's like a... You were expecting to do a sequel to this, right?
Was there a Krull 2?
I don't know if there was supposed to be.
Oh my gosh. Wait, hold on. This is like real time search here. Hold on.
What are you doing dropping this knowledge of their son will then rule the galaxy? These people have swords. They don't know how to fly a spaceship. And the spaceship that the beast came in, like, for some unforeseeable reason, shattered into 100 pieces and flew into space.
Hold on.
There is no Krull Tool.
Oh, my God.
That's a fake YouTube video. I watched it earlier today.
Krull Tool lost
in
Seba.
It's not real. No, that's just somebody put together a fake concept Krull trailer. I looked at it earlier today. That is not a real thing.
Okay.
It's like video game footage, like, mixed together with stuff. It's not real.
I love it already, though.
Yes.
So,
You literally see, like, no, like, people. It's just, like, all random shots here.
Okay, so number one I'm going to link to, you can watch Krull on superfantastictrific.com.
Yes.
And then I'm going to have this one also.
This fake trailer.
This fake trailer that you can watch and right in the browser, on the website. It's horrible. It doesn't even make any sense. It doesn't have anything... Yes. Close. Oh, said the glaive will spin once again.
Yes.
Dude, Krull Tool lost in Seba.
Yeah, whatever that is.
Okay. Wait, hold on. Who's it say it's done by?
I don't know.
Oh, let's go back here.
I thought I saw Woody Allen's name there for a second.
Woody Allen? Is that what it was? Hold on here. Let's see. I got this one.
But anyway, so I wrote a song about this, which actually turned out really good.
Oh, and we played that in last episode. I will again play it at the end of this episode, just because that seems like something that you have to hear.
So anyway,
it was really good. It kind of had like an 80s, like, a vibe to it.
80s rock vibe.
Okay, well, here okay,
Tom Cruise.
Oh my God. Harrison Ford. Sir Ian McKellen, Tom Cruise, Marion Cotillard, Kate Blanchett, Harrison Ford, Stellan Skarsgård,
yes.
Vincent Cassel, Lawrence Fishburne, Morgan Freeman, Song Kang-ho, Christian Bale, and Christian
Yeah, imagine Bates. How much this movie would have cost if you had Tom Cruise and
you know what? Just Harrison Ford. The only one's even close, yes. Dude, I'd like to see Christopher Waltz.
Yeah, there you go.
That would be good. Anyway, that's hilarious. It says Prime Video, Columbia.
Yeah. Yeah. So we did a really... Tim Burton's name was thrown up in there somewhere, too. Anyway, so I would like to see a remake of it. I think you, with modern technology, modern special effects, you could make it great. And most people wouldn't even know what it was. They'd just be like, what's this Skrull thing? Because they wouldn't, you know, it's a cult classic. It's not like a well-known thing.
Is it a cult classic, or is it just...
They even had a video game.
There was a video?
Andy even talked about how he was good at it. There was a video game in the arcades. I played it at Pizza Eatery. They had a Skrull video game for a while.
Hope you can hear my keyboard going there. Skrull, the video game. Holy shit, arcade
game. Yes. They made a video game in concert with this film because they obviously were hoping it was going to be better than it was. You know the part where the rocks are falling down at him when he's going up to get the glaive?
Dude, that's like one of the first scenes. Why are there rocks and who's throwing them?
I have no idea. Just the mountain's just like, you're not coming to get this glaive.
I'm throwing some paper mache rocks at you. And they're like gigantic rocks, like, oh, that's going to kill the guy.
So the first
thing, and it just kind of rolls past.
So the first thing in the video game is you're going up the hill trying to get past the rocks, and I would get killed every time by the rocks. I wouldn't even get to the part where it was very much like the Tron video game, kind of where you, like, you know, you would go and you were like, you were actually using the glaive to kill the Slayers in the video game, not in the movie, just in the video game.
So this is indie gamer approved.
Okay, so I fondly remember the video game. Fondly remember the video game that I couldn't get past, like, the first or second scene. I get past, like, maybe the second scene.
You know, I've got one of those little handheld games with all those.
All the games on it?
I wonder if Kroll is on there.
Maybe, who knows?
That would be amazing.
Yeah, so no, there was even a video game for this movie. Because obviously they were hoping it was going to be bigger. Spent $30 million, made $16 million, that's why there is no Kroll remake.
That's too bad.
But I wanted a Kroll remake. I got my Tron sequel finally. And my other thing was a Conan the Barbarian... like Game of Thrones series on HBO. Like a violent, nudity-filled Conan the Barbarian. Because that's how the books are.
It's creepy that you keep saying nudity.
Because that's how the books are. The books are. Like, remember the original Conan the Barbarian? There's like nude scenes and stuff. They just went PG-13 on the second one.
Right.
First one was an R-rated movie. They made a sequel that was PG-13.
Okay. No, I remember.
It was like, you know, it's like, it's Conan the Barbarian. She's like, oh, I'm going to... I kill. I'm not doing a Conan impersonation.
That's really
for
bad.
Some reason. I have no idea why.
You did really good earlier.
I don't know. I just decided not to do Arnold this time. Anyway. I will get the princess and I will save the princess and then I will get the princess and she will be naked. She'll be the naked princess and then we'll go have the snake orgy like it. I'm going to have the snake orgy and be really good. Yes.
I'm dying.
So anyway. A good Conan. So, Logan's Run is also ripe for
I don't know. Logan's Run was...
They've done something similar.
It was pretty perfect the way it was.
Though. Yeah.
I love that.
Unless you rewatch it, that's not... No, even though it was the sexiest movie ever.
Sexy.
According to Ross from Friends.
That's right.
She's the one that wanted to watch Logan's Run, the sexiest movie ever. But Denise Richards is his cousin?
Yeah, that's right.
Yes.
Anyway, so we were going to talk about Cobra Kai. I think we'll save that for another episode.
We'll save Cobra Kai.
And so, again...
Just recommendations, though. Current recommendations. Mine would be The Studio. It's on Apple Plus. It's about the movie industry. It's really good. I'm not a huge Seth Rogen fan, personally. I don't like his politics and stuff, but... and he's kind of an ass sometimes, but he put together a really good TV show. So, I don't hold things against people, like... If an actor is like an asshole, I'm not going to just not watch their shows.
I'm an asshole.
But, you know, like, if it looks good, I'll give it a chance, and I gave it a chance, and it's probably my favorite show currently.
Very good.
Is The Studio
so
on Apple.
So, I just finished Cobra Kai.
Yes.
And
we'll go into full discussion with Andy.
It was literally the ending did not disappoint. That's all I'll say. Like, it was exactly what it needed to be.
Well, I'll say one quick thing. We'll talk about it next time. But, so it was done in three parts, and you waited to watch all of it together.
I could not do that. Yeah.
So the end of the second part, how ridiculously over the top was that tournament where, like, the whole entire tournament ended in, like, the massive brawl on live
the
TV?
The brawl on live, is that what the end was?
Yeah.
I don't even know that because I didn't wait.
That was the end of the second segment. The second part.
That's why I knew they were going to be, you know, it was going to be arbitrarily, like, you know, three big cliffhangers.
Yeah.
Like, I don't need it.
Yeah.
And I seriously, like, it was...
Well,
like,
I couldn't wait. I couldn't do like you and wait for the whole thing. I watched it as it came out.
In one weekend, like,
yeah.
Probably 2 weeks ago,
yeah.
I got up early on Saturday morning.
And just binged
I watched, like, seven episodes. Yeah. And then
They're quick. Usually they're like, you know...
They're like half an hour, yeah. 40 minutes. And then the next Sunday morning I woke up.
Yeah.
And I just polished it. Like, yeah. I did it in one weekend.
Yeah.
It was glorious.
Yes, it was good.
Glorious. Very anyway, good. So we'll talk
And about I said it. Johnny is probably one of my favorite TV characters ever now. Johnny Lawrence.
Yeah.
I mean, the redemption story is so funny.
No, you said too much.
No, the whole concept of the series was his, like, supposed redemption, and he kept waiting for it to happen, and it kept not happening. Every time he would make a good character turn, he'd fall back and make a mistake again.
It started in the first season.
Yes.
It was on YouTube.
Yes.
And I said, he keeps, like, oh, Johnny's going to be good.
Yeah.
And then, slips back in.
Yes.
Johnny's going to be good again. Oh, he slips back in. It's like that just roller coaster of...
But he's such a hilarious character. Like, just like the going back to, like, the early seasons when he tries to make his, like, online dating profile.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That character just cracks me up.
Wait. Save it for later. Okay. Anyways, check out superfantasticterrific.com. We're going to now go out here, enjoy the glaive.
The glaive.
Slayers attacked. The kingdom's army were driven back. The princess was captured and carried away. It really ruined their wedding day. A band of heroes and a queen. They must save before a creature named the Beast makes her his slave. A cyclops, a wizard, a band of thieves that are super brave. And our hero, the prince, and his weapon, the glaive. Magical five-pointed weapon with retractable blades. A badass weapon that sends slayers in their grave. A band of heroes and a queen they must save before a creature named a beast makes her his slave. A cyclops, a wizard, a band of thieves that are super brave. And our hero, the prince, and his weapon, the glaive. Quicksand, crystal spiders spinning their werewebs. A teleporting fortress and a giant demon-like head. A band of heroes and a queen they must save before a creature named a beast makes her his slave. A cyclops, a wizard, a band of thieves that are super brave. And our hero, the prince, and his weapon. They reached the beast castle, made their way inside. Fought a great battle, and many died. The hero fought, and the girl he saved is the powerful of his magical glaive. A band of heroes and a queen they must save before a creature named the beast makes her his slave. A cyclops, a wizard, a band. And our hero, the prince, and his weapon, the glaive.